Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Joining us, our first guest, Simon Trinculo, and he's author of two books on conspiracy. The New Conspiracy Handbook, From G.I. Joe to Lady Gaga, 25 Truths You Won't Find on Wikipedia, as well as the 31 Suspicious Suicides. So, two very interesting areas in the conspiracy idea. And it's great to have you join us. And how are you doing tonight?
Hi, Al. Thanks for doing well. I know you're on the West Coast. Here on the East Coast, where it's here in the South, North Carolina, where it's still summer and a nice day, and look forward to talking conspiracy with you.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, it's turned out nicer today. I know we've had some rain, but it's actually still kind of warm, just not summer. So let's start with some basics about you. Let's say for the audience, let's say what got you starting into conspiracy and actually writing about it?
Well, you know, I think that growing up in America, you know, I think that JFK, I guess, was the first conspiracy that a lot of us are, or the first situation where a lot of us were sort of presented with the idea that maybe the official story was not... you know, not exactly what may have taken place. And then with the events of 9/11, sort of became like the next one where, regardless of where even people that, you know, seem to believe the official story about Al-Qaeda being behind it, you know, they seem to admit there's a lot of strange circumstances behind, you know, details and things that don't quite add up. And, I think that among me and my friends, we always sort of like to take some of these situations and say, hey, you know, look at some other things in the news, and maybe what if those were not, you know, things were not as they seem. And so it sort of became a kind of a thing I like to do with my buddies. We would go on camping trips, sit around the campfire, have a few beers, you know, just kind of talk about, you know, what if there are dark forces or... you know, working behind the scenes to manipulate news items or media events. And in particular, you know, it's been brought up that as Americans, we have no problem believing that people in other or the other countries and governments are using propaganda and conspiracies to, you know, shape public view. Certainly, you know, I guess the Nazis in World War II era were the ones that really brought it to the forefront. But it seems like Americans also have a hard time believing that it might be happening to us as well. So kind of the idea behind the new conspiracy handbook was to, you know, look at some events that happened not just in the current in contemporary times, but also we go back, went back into history in a few, and just sort of ask the question, you know, what if things are not exactly as they seem?
Right. Yeah. It's pretty interesting. So, what's your impression of why people do that? Like, why is America's developed such a I don't know, fascination even, or certainly anything that happens nowadays, people, there's almost always some sort of conspiracy that we're not getting the truth. And do you think that's because we've been fooled by media or government? Like, what do you think causes the fascination with that?
Yeah, well, it's one thing I have noticed, and you may have noticed this as well, is that Americans have a very strange kind of relationship with authority figures. I think, on one hand, I think that we all, and maybe it's not just Americans, maybe people in general, but I think that we all would like to believe that the government and the media and other institutions are looking out for our best interests. But at the same time, we've, you know, been given so many, especially in today's media age, we've been given so many examples of situations where the government and, you know, the media, sometimes working together, have not been particularly honest with us. And unfortunately, once that, you know, the saying goes, you can break, if a mirror is broken, you can fix the mirror, but the crack will always be there. And I think that once the public has lost its trust in some of our institutions, I think that it's almost impossible to fully repair that.
Yeah, yeah, and it seems to keep happening over and over again, right? So,
well, it's, one thing that's interesting to me is that, you know, a few years ago, if you had said something like, well, I believe that the government is, you know, setting up data centers to record phone calls and to keep records of all our emails, a lot of people might have said, hey, you know, you're paranoid, you're a conspiracy nut. But then, you know, when the mainstream media reports that that, in fact, is happening, and then when you have some of the leaks, the WikiLeaks situation, and now all of a sudden it's sort of become, everybody sort of acknowledges that, yeah, you know, one way or another, all of our electronic, you know, communications are, in fact, being stored somewhere. We're not quite sure what they're being used for, but...
Yeah, well, that's good.
I mean,
you know, if I lose the tape, then maybe they'll give it to me. I don't know.
Right.
And actually, we look at Facebook, right? Facebook is like a perfect way. We update all of our files in real time for NSA right there.
Yeah, that is that's not a conspiracy that
no.
I've looked at, but that's one that I have certainly heard other people speculate that we're kind of Facebook could possibly be a... you know, in cahoots with the CIA, and we're basically voluntarily giving the government information about us.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing...
It's kind of true, because in a way, anybody can view it, and I'm sure they have more access or more ability to keep track of it than average people.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that the... ultimately, you know, the idea behind the new conspiracy handbook was to... you know, sort of tap into the Americans' sort of general distrust of authority figures, and sort of take some situations and say, hey, you know, we've been presented with this set of facts, but can we draw a narrative or a story that, you know, maybe presents, you know, another cause behind them?
Yeah.
So, and one thing, another thing that when I was writing and researching this book, I wanted to stay away from is that I had noticed that a lot of conspiracy authors are bad about sort of saying, hey, I've uncovered this, you know, anonymous source, you know, startling new information, which, you know, really doesn't have a whole lot of credibility because, you know, an anonymous source could just mean you're making stuff up. So one thing that I tried to do was to, on each of my conspiracies, was to only use facts that were, you know, available, generally recognized by the mainstream public, could be easily verified by the media, and to take those facts and sort of create a narrative saying that, you know, possibly there are things that, you know, these aren't, these things that might be coincidences maybe were not coincidences, or maybe there was another motive behind them.
Yeah, just you're just sort of presenting the evidence.
Right, it's kind of like we didn't want to say, you know, we wanted to take things that people generally agreed upon and then said, hey, but maybe, you know, like in the case of the O.J. Simpson verdict, you know, maybe the reason the prosecution was so inept is because they didn't want to win the case, after all. You know, not something that anybody's ever brought up, and there's, it's impossible to prove, of course, but at the same time, there are reasons that perhaps the state of California, you know, may have just been fine with letting O.J. go.
Yeah. Hmm. So, now, do you have any sort of conspiracy, like in your conspiracy one, like not your suicide, but in your conspiracy kind of thought book, what's the one that sticks out most for you, or kind of like you like to know more about, or seems to be the weirdest, or just the one that sticks out the most?
Let's see. One of my favorite ones, and part of the reason I included it as part of the title, involves Lady Gaga, the pop performer, in part because, you know, I'm actually a fan of hers, and enjoy her music, and I enjoyed enjoy her sort of artistic, the way that she's always kind of like in artistic mode. Every time you see her in public, she's wearing some sort of new costume, or you know, trying to. She's always doing something sort of outlandish, and which I think is a good thing for artists to do, to, you know, push the envelope. And in fact, I had the opportunity to see a Lady Gaga show live when she came to my hometown, and I was amazed by how, you know, high energy. This was like a high energy concert, you know, 2 hours of her singing and dancing, and she was, between every song, she would do these elaborate costume changes. You know, she'd go behind the, you know, backstage, and like maybe, you know, 90 seconds later, 2 minutes later, come out in a completely different, elaborate costume. And I was just amazed at how, you know, she was able to pull this off, and, you know, night after night after night, doing these high-energy shows. And of course, in the pop world, there's a lot of controversy around whether or not, you know, the performers are actually singing during these shows, or if they're lip-syncing. In my opinion, I think that the show I witnessed was half and half. There were clearly some of the slower numbers. She did seem to be singing live. Some of the more upbeat dance numbers, it was hard for me to really believe that, you know, you got, no matter how, what kind of like aerobic condition you're in, to be able to dance and sing and keep that up for a long period of time. Yeah. But what I was getting at is that after the show, it occurred to me that, you know, it would sort of make sense that there could be multiple Lady Gagas, and that because, you know, so many of her costumes involve either part or all of her face being concealed, you know, wouldn't it be that hard for her production team to find, you know, three or four women with the same basic body shape, and then, you know, the actual Lady Gaga could go out and do some of the performance and then allow others to come in and take her place, and the audience would be none the wiser. And what really sort of set this one off was that I, when researching her career, I came across a segment on CNN.com, I believe, a video where during a show, a piece of the stage, like a metal pole, actually fell and sort of clonked her in the head. She suffered a concussion. You know, I'm not sure if she was knocked unconscious, but was injured pretty badly during the show. So they took her off stage, and then maybe 5 minutes passed, and all of a sudden she's back, you know, and finishes the show with no ill effects apparent. So once I saw that, I was like, you know, that really does seem like there's a good chance that the artist is portrayed as being, you know, one Lady Gaga may have multiple, you know, body doubles helping out to do these shows.
Yeah. And so when you do something like that and talk about Lady Gaga, did you ever get any sort of response or any sort of any answer from them or her group or?
As a first time writer, I never really took the investigative approach. I mean, I suppose I probably could have contacted her team, but to ask about it, but I'm sure they would have denied it. Part of my MO, I guess, was to just kind of like put the question out there. I didn't want to take the tone as an author of being, of saying, hey, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. It's more like, hey, here's some things I've noticed, and here's like some possibilities, and sort of let the reader, let the readers kind of decide for themselves. I never really took it to a like investigative level. Like I have no desire to expose Lady Gaga or try to ruin her career or anything like that. It was more just kind of a here's something kind of fun to think about.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And you also mentioned G.I. Joe. So what would be conspiracy about G.I. Joe? Like what?
Well, G.I. Joe, the long story short on G.I. Joe is that G.I. Joe was originally, remember, more of like a doll size, before they called them action figures. They were sold back in the 60s and 70s, and they actually stopped making G.I. Joe, I believe, in the late 70s. And then in the early 80s, when I happened to be, I grew up in the 80s, the G.I. Joe toy and the cartoon sort of came back. And the idea behind the G.I. Joe conspiracy was that it's not so much about or around G.I. Joe, but rather around the enemy that he was facing. Al, I don't know if you watched much of the G.I. Joe cartoons back when they were on the air. But
long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I was. I think I was right at that age, after school, come home, and we would watch, my brother and I would watch the Transformers and G.I. Joe. But the interesting thing about that is that even though this was the 80s and the Cold War was still very much in effect, the G.I. Joe cartoon did not portray the American army against the communists or Soviets, but rather against, you'll remember, an organization known as Cobra, which was kind of a described as a stateless terrorist organization. And the leader was literally a faceless entity known as the Cobra Commander, who had, this shield over his face so you couldn't see his features. And the basic theme of the G.I. Joe versus Cobra conflict was that Cobra as an entity seemed to just be, have no real goal in mind other than just to, cause death and destruction. And G.I. Joe's mission was to, was to defend America against these guys. And so the idea is that perhaps it's sort of a long-term conspiracy where perhaps the people that, the Department of Defense, Pentagon, whoever, realized that the future of war was not going to be, United States versus Soviet Union or country versus country, but rather, United States versus these sort of terrorist organizations that may not have any stayed associated with them. And so G.I. Joe, the cartoon was kind of a way of training the future warriors of America to not to become accustomed to the idea that war was going to be a sort of perpetual campaign against a stateless enemy as opposed to country versus country. And it turned out, you know, that the kids that were watching G.I. Joe by the time they got to military age were, you know, then enlisted to fight battles against, you know, Al-Qaeda or now, you know, the group known as ISIS, it was kind of like a, you might say it was sort of a generational form of brainwashing to say, hey, we're going to prepare we're going to use G.I. Joe to prepare a generation of future soldiers to accept the idea that war is going to be a perpetual campaign against an enemy that never really goes away, never really seems to clarify what its objectives are. And, you know, and some people who are the cynical people among us would say that these wars are being fought because they make a lot of money for arms dealers and, you know, defense contractors and whatnot. And there's a lot more to it in the book as well, but that's kind of the basic gist of it.
Hmm. Do you end up having kind of thoughts every time something happens, like, you know, when the Malaysia airline goes missing and things like that? Does that sort of creep up? And
it's definitely a mindset. And sometimes, you know, you have to be careful to not take it to an extreme. Like, we probably all know guys that see a conspiracy in everything, and I don't think that's really that's not really what I tried to do. But in fact, we
tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations. Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
as a writer, I've kind of tried to stay away from some of the situations like 9/11 or even the Sandy Hook massacre, which a lot of people are saying maybe, you know, staged or whatever, which, you know, in some cases, you know, seems a little bit too outlandish for even my taste.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you kind of want to pick and choose, you know, you want to pick your spots. You know, you kind of want to recognize that not everything is a conspiracy, but at the same time, you know, it's, I think it's good for people, I think it's good for a democracy for people to constantly at least ask the question, you know.
Yeah. Do you, just on as far as conspiracies and that, do you have any sort of influences or any books or people that you look to or read that kind of influence you in it?
Well, I guess, you know, the Oliver Stone's JFK film is probably the one piece of art that really got me personally thinking that way. And I'm sure you've probably seen it, although it's been it's been a while. And the one thing that struck me about JFK as a work of art was that as soon as it came out, there was like a really strong like media backlash against it, like where you know, I think even the New York Times sort of made the unprecedented step of writing editorials saying, hey, these are this Oliver Stone's JFK, this is a bunch of crap. Here's all the things he got wrong. I mean, even before the film was really released, there were a lot of people trying to discredit it. And to me, that sort of made it sound like, well, you know, maybe Oliver Stone has hit a nerve, or maybe he's getting, you know, he's obviously making a lot of people very uncomfortable. You know, the fact that JFK, even if you don't believe Stone's theory, is, you know, just a outstanding piece of work as a film, even if you view it totally as fiction, I think helps a lot. But yeah, that was probably the main. And, you know, again, I was like in the teenage, early adult. Don't remember exactly when it came out, but I was in that sort of impressionistic age when JFK was released, and that was kind of like really sort of opened my mind to, you know, maybe we should start looking at things more critically.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
But yeah, actually, you know, some people might be surprised that I don't do a whole lot of conspiracy reading or viewing myself right now, in part because part of what I'm trying to do with the new conspiracy handbook and also a sequel that I'm working on is to try to come up with new material that is not being addressed by, you know, Alex Jones and whoever else is out there talking about these things.
Yeah. Do you end up belonging to any groups that talk about conspiracy and stuff like that, or do you belong to anything that kind of have any sort of meetings or doing that sort of stuff? Or
no, actually, I am trying to stay sort of as independent as possible. In part because, you know, I have I want to I want my books to be novel in the sense that you know, I want to present some material that has not been discussed by other people. And also, I hate to say this, but I sort of found, you know, that sometimes a lot of the conspiracies that are out there seem to be talked to death. You know, I don't know if there's, you know, as fascinating as JFK or Roswell or 9/11 are, I don't know if there's like a whole lot more that can be said about them. So, you know, I'm mostly kind of working independently and kind of spending my time looking at things that are going on in the news and also, you know, recent historical events, and just trying to, you know, see if there are other angles that could be taken.
Yeah, Oh, that's kind of good. Actually, nice. Okay, now do you have a place that people can get a hold of you?
Well, let's see. We have I have a Facebook page, Simon Trinculo. The books can be ordered right now on Amazon.com. Just search for Simon Trinculo or a New Conspiracy Handbook. They're available as e-books for $5.99, and also paperbacks, I think, for $7.99. We're in the process, me and a couple people that I'm working with are on building, you know, probably going to try to put together a website and maybe expand the New Conspiracy Handbook universe a little bit. But right now we're still kind of in the early developing phases. But also, if you want to contact me, it's simon.trinculo@gmail.com. And I would love to hear from anybody who has read the book and had any questions about it.
Okay. And we'll have all that linked to our website, Facebook, and pass on anything we get to you. Okay. Well, and hopefully we'll have you back. I mean, hopefully when you get your next book done, we'll get you on, and
that would be awesome. I've enjoyed enjoyed talking to you.
Okay, well, thanks very much, and we'll talk to you again on that.
All right, thank you, Al.
This has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.